Visit us online at www.thehype873.com.
That's right. It is your girl, Tampa Mystic, and we are live right here at the Hype 87.3. And listen, as always, we have the highly anticipated, super duper talented guests that check in with us right here on the Hype 87.3. And tonight is no different. We got a superstar. He's a producer, he's a songwriter, and so much more. He goes by the name of Rambo. How you doing, family?
I'm doing good. What up? What up? Thanks for having me. I appreciate y'all.
Man, it's a pleasure. It's definitely a pleasure to have you on the line. So we're excited to get to know your journey and for everybody to, you know, understand a little bit more about who Rambo is. Formerly, was it Dante Tyler? Am I saying that correctly? Okay.
It's the name Mama gave me. So, you know, I was going by that and I just wanted to, you know, give him something new.
Understood. Absolutely. Well, you're a singer, a songwriter, producer, engineer. Give us that official introduction. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're checking in from.
So, I write, sing, write, produce, engineer. I do all my records, do everything. I'm in Charlotte right now. That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just, you know, making it happen, man. Just writing, producing, whoever needs a song, needs a beat. Holla at me.
Holla at your boy. I love it. Definitely. You know what I mean? So are you originally from Charlotte or were you born somewhere else?
So I was born in a little town called Kingsville, North Carolina. It's a little tiny town. I mean, it's little. And but I was raised in Raleigh.
Okay.
I was raised most of my life in Raleigh, North Carolina. You heard of Raleigh?
I definitely have. Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah. So I was raised in Raleigh. It was cool. And you know, now I just kind of move a little bit to the west. I'm in Charlotte now. We chilling.
I love it. Listen, Charlotte is dope. There's a lot of talent out there for sure.
Yeah, a lot of talent. So much talent.
Yeah, definitely. Well, let's take it back to your childhood because I always like people to understand, you know, how you got to where you're at. You know, going back to your younger years, we'll say before the age of 10, what was an interest for you? Were you into sports or it has always been music?
So, long story short, I got my first spanking in church. I was 2 because I wanted to get on the choir. I wanted to sing with everybody. I wanted to have my little solo. And so, you know, my grandma, she took me to the back and we had a little prayer meeting and I came back saved when I was delivered. And so ever since then, like, I just been wanting to do music. You know, my whole life I just wanted to do music and play instruments and just wanted to be around it. And I just felt like it was just a language that I can understand and I can convey my emotions the best with music. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That makes me think about like little Tina Turner, like if in the movie, What's Love Got to Do With It? She was in there singing her heart out and they were snatching her up, you know, like.
Listen, we fought for this now. We got roughed up and scuffed up for this music thing. So, you know.
Facts.
Pay us better.
That's right. That's why it's important for people to understand your journey because you've come a long, long way from them church days. So, definitely. Do you play, what instruments do you play?
So I play keys. My very, very first instrument, I'm going to tell a lot of people, but it was violin.
Mm.
It wasn't really, you can't really swag out with a violin, but it's dope now though.
Yeah.
So violin, piano, I play guitar.
Mm.
And I play a little bass and stuff like that.
That is dope.
A little trumpet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just do a little everything, really.
Playing those instruments, is that what got you interested in the production side?
Yeah, I think me playing instruments, you know, I didn't know the whole time I was technically producing, you know, because I was just improv. And even when I was in my music class, I would always put a little bit of sauce on the sheet music. I always add a little bit extra.
Yeah.
And I would get corrected by my teacher, like, yo, you got to stick to the script. You know what I mean? But that was producing, you know, really. And then, like, you know, producing beats and instrumentals and tracks and stuff like that, I just did it out of lack of resources and didn't really have the resources to pay a producer at the time. So I just learned how to do it myself and then other people wanted to, you know, started paying me to make them beats too.
I love it.
That's how I kinda got into it.
Dope. That is dope. So production came first before the singing and songwriting?
No, I've always sung.
Okay.
I've always sung and I've always wrote songs. So basically, I mean, producing is songwriting.
Yes.
I mean, it's no lyrics, but it's still, you know, melody and you're composing.
Yes.
And so I can make up my songs. You know, I would hear a song on the radio and I'd be throwing my own ad-libs in there and, you know, and create my own duet with Toni Braxton and Whitney Houston, you know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I would say I was singing and writing first before I started producing.
Love it. Love it. Now, are you still a writer in the aspect of you put pen to paper, or are you more like putting it on your phone? Like, has that transitioned or changed over the years?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. So here lately, one of my cousins, one of my cousins, shout out to Bishop Chasen, my guy. And, you know, maybe a few years ago, he was telling me like, yo, you should write your lyrics without putting them down, just like kind of like freestyle with them, just so it'll take you out of a box.
Yeah.
And so I used to write them on paper, then I'll write them on my phone, and now I don't really actually write anything. I just vibe with it, and what, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind that's vibey, I just kind of build off that. So I don't really write anything anymore.
Love it. I love it. You've made that transition for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think a lot of artists, you know, do make that transition at some point in time. They start out as a writer and then they, you know, kind of start freestyling, punching in, you know, their way of actually creating music evolves over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And it's fun too, because it's like, you know, sometimes you don't have pen and paper. Sometimes, you know, your phone may be away from your phone, maybe on the charger.
Right.
You know, you may be somewhere out, you know, so it's just, you just vibe out and you don't think about what's on paper. You're not really boxed in mentally or anything. And
right.
It just feels like it's limitless, you know, so I really like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some people can't capture that organic delivery when they're reading it from a piece of paper. Because it sounds scripted, right?
100%, 100%. Because you know, I can remember like my best magical moments were the ones that I didn't capture because I'm so busy trying to get it out on paper.
Right.
And so now, like sometimes producers will send me beats too. They want to like, you know, pay me to write on their stuff or whatever. And so I won't even listen to the beat until I'm in my studio and it's on and I'm ready to record. As soon as I cut it on, I hit record, and then that's, you know, 9 times out of 10, the vibe is going to be there. As soon as I hit record and the first thing comes out of my mouth, that's going to be the vibe.
Love it. Do you have a particular creative process? And what I mean by that is like, do you have to be like in a certain, you know, emotional situation or certain element, or does it, when that beat comes on, you get to it?
So, yeah. So I used to write off of inspiration, but I realized if I want to turn this into a career, you know what I mean? You got to learn how to adapt and you got to learn how to tap into certain emotions. And so I just do it now just because I have to. I do it to pay the bills. I do it to, you know, keep the pen sharp and just stay in that creative space. So I do it every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that we desire to do and make a career out of it, we have to, like you said, we have to do it every single day. It's like, you know, the old saying, practice makes perfect, and you know, you have to sharpen yourself, and the business changes every single day, so we have to keep up with that. And that means working at our craft every single day.
Yeah, it's a muscle, you know what I mean? And so I just try to stay fresh, and you know, so I can just, you know, get it done and get the people what they want.
That's right. Absolutely. Let's go back onto the production side. When you first started producing, was it solely for like the people around you, or were you out the gate producing for, you know, random people that may have you stumbled across along the way, or did you get to that point later on?
Yeah, I got to that point later on. I just wanted to produce my own stuff.
Yeah.
And then like, I'll go perform my own stuff, and then like the artists that I'm, you know, sharing the stage with, you know, will be like, yo, you know, yo, who made those tracks? Who did this? Who did your mixes? Who wrote the song or whatever? And I'm like, I did it myself. and they're like, what do you charge? I'm like, I don't even know how to charge. You know what I mean? I wasn't expecting to go in business in that direction, you know, and that's why, you know, this music industry, like I look at it like a boat.
Yes.
And without an oar. And so like the wind is going to take you where to go. And you just got to be alone. You just got to, you know, just be ready for whatever, you know what I mean? And so at that point, you know, and it took me like maybe like a couple of years to just embrace, like, you know, I'm a producer for other people.
Yes.
And writer for other people. And I actually got more gratification out of, you know, producing and writing for other people, you know, providing that type of service.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think I was going to be in this direction, but I really like it. I think it's, you know, it's cool. You know, I can be home every night.
There you go. That's God's plan.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There you go. God's plan.
Definitely. You know, and that's the thing about life is, you know, we never really know from one day to the next what's going to happen, but we can do our best to try to line things up, you know, being proactive. And it sounds like that's, you know, where you're at now. Like you said, you know, you're a family man. You can spend more time with your family, you know, and who better to get your sound the way you want it than you?
There you go.
Man. Now, on the production side, when you're making beats, do you do multiple genres?
Oh, yeah, I do multiple genres. I do, you know, R&B, of course, obviously. I do pop. I do country.
Okay.
I do rock. I do folk music, bluegrass. I do whatever. And the reason why I say that is because many years ago, maybe I would say like 13 years ago, I opened up a recording studio for the public, and my first client, I thought my client base was going to be like rap, R&B, maybe a little pop, but it was like rap. It was like bluegrass.
Mm.
I was like, okay, he bringing in the mandolins, the piccolos. I'm like, oh,
that's dope, though.
Yeah, that's dope. And so, I mean, it kind of like opened up a different world for me. And so, like, then, you know, folk music, and then I started writing and producing in that genre, and I got opportunities, you know, from that was a different type of bag for me. And so, like I said, it's like a boat without a paddle, you know what I mean? Because it's like I didn't think I was going to be there. It's been an interesting journey.
I love that. And I love that analogy you used as well about the boat without the paddle. You just, the wind blows you in the way you're supposed to go. I love it.
Listen, my music catalog, it's like a fitted cap. The outfit is like a fitted cap, a kilt, Tim boots, and some chaps. I mean, it's everything. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just everything. It's like gumbo.
Love it. It's a big gumbo. That is dope. When you first started making beats, who was the first artist that ever recorded on one of your beats besides yourself?
Besides like a bigger artist or just a local artist?
Anybody. Let's pay homage to that person for jumping on your beat being the first.
Let me look back. I would say it was a gospel artist named Chris Martin.
Okay.
Yeah, it was an old friend, it was a gospel artist named Chris Martin. And then it just got bigger and bigger, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah, shout out to Chris Martin. I appreciate you, bro.
Yeah, shout out to Chris Martin. We appreciate you. Hey, that's dope. And I like the fact that you are on the gospel side and on the secular side. When you can do all these different types of genres, man, it just opens you up to a much broader audience, a bigger market. Like you say, you get the bag in multiple places.
100%.
Not trying 100%. To box yourself in at all. Now,
no.
do you songwrite for other artists?
Yep, I sure do.
Let's talk about that a little bit. What do you enjoy the most about the process of being able to actually sit down and write a record for another artist?
I think all of us share, I think for the most part, relatively speaking, like most of us share the same emotions, same feelings, you know, and like, you know, our experiences may be different, but we all know what sad feels like. We all know what heartbreak feels like. We all know what, you know, and so I love being able to relate to the artist in that manner. I love being able to tap in and just, and then as a songwriter, like when I got really good at songwriting is when I started having more empathy to other people's story. And so like, man, like a situation will be like, me and the artist will get in the studio and we just chop it up and talk, you know, like, you know, most songwriters do it, just sit and chop it up and get to know the artist, and we just chop it up, no pressure, no nothing. We just get to know each other and talk. And I think just me having that empathy and just putting myself in their shoes, it really helps me convey their message, you know what I mean, without getting in the way and me getting in the way of their story. So I just basically just try to convey their story and be as transparent as possible for them.
Yes.
And so that's basically I forgot the question. I think that's the question. I think I answered the question.
No, you did. You did. No, you definitely did. I was just asking,
I'm
like,
look, we're going down a rabbit hole.
Nah. You might want to do some comedy too. You slick got a good sense of humor. I love it.
Oh, man.
But yeah, no, definitely. I was just I was curious what you enjoy the most about, you know, writing for someone else. And that's dope because you can actually bring their thoughts to life, because some people are, they know what they want, but they're not necessarily a great songwriter. So that's where someone like you will come into play, that, you know, you're a phenomenal songwriter, not just for yourself, but for others as well.
Right. 100%. That's true.
Let's talk about the engineering side, because I don't feel like engineers get their just due. They're one of the most pivotal parts of any music artist's career, because they're the ones that get the sound, what we hear on radio and what we hear on the streaming platforms. Have you been engineering almost as long as you have been producing?
Yes, actually, because I, in 2005, I went to audio engineering school.
Okay.
And so I just wanted to, well, my initial major was computer science. I thought I wanted to do something like that. And then I'm like, I don't fit in. This ain't for me. I'm just, you know, I'm not. It was just too safe for me, and it wasn't myself. And so I ended up going to this audio engineering school just to kind of learn trade, and then I minored in, you know, post-production, and that's when I started producing for myself and eventually other people. So it was kind of around the same time, 2005.
That is dope. Did you learn, when you were in school, did you learn anything on the Foley side?
The what side? I'm sorry, what did you say?
Foley, where they actually do the sound creation for, like, films and stuff like that. Was that a thing when you were in school?
Oh, scoring. Oh, yeah. So a lot of our assignments were scoring and matching music to film, to motion pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that was, like, some of our projects, some of our assignments and things of that nature that we had to do to be graded and for us to pass and stuff like that.
Right. Absolutely. And I know you said that post-production. So have you worked on any, like, films or anything like that? Or is it more on the music side?
Yeah, I've worked on film. I've done a few movies, TV shows. I've worked with Netflix. I worked on the show The Chi, Ambitious, Saints and Sinners. A few movies,
You better pop your ish. Yo, you just throw around. That's fire. Now that is really, really, really dope. Congratulations on all that, because that speaks a lot for your work ethic. Let's just hone in on that. Yeah, you're absolutely. So, you know, with these placements with Netflix and Fox and Showtime, and, you know, I'm sure there's many others as well. For anybody who's aspiring to get into being able to work on music within film, or maybe even just the soundtrack for film or for these TV shows, any piece of advice or tips you could offer them?
Yeah, pay attention to, so a lot of times you can have a dope song, but the dope song is not placeable or syncable for a motion picture. And so you got to look at, a lot of times it's just reformatting your music, so it's a certain TV format that your music has to be in. And so pay attention to the type of music. Let's just say you're watching, like, your favorite show. Listen to the cues that's in the show.
Yeah.
And listen to the format of the music. They'll normally have, like, a chorus first, and then they'll have, like, a B section and things of that nature. And then once you learn the format, reach out to a sync company and or a music supervisor to pitch your music to.
There you go. There's a lot of artists now that are talking more about, you know, sync licensing and getting their actual music into film. I know that there's a few of them out there. Taxi is one. Any suggestions of these sync licensing companies that you would recommend?
Yeah, me personally, I wouldn't necessarily recommend Taxi, because this is how I feel about it, just from my experience, is that you know, you don't really want to pay to pitch your music, because basically they're using your intellectual property, and so they pay you to use your music.
Mm.
And so you don't have to pay to get your music used. And so it's just building relationships, going to, you know, summits, things of that nature. But anyway, companies, yeah, there's a company called TuneEdge, company called Music, Crucial Music, company called, that company, it just emailed me too. You can just Google sync companies. It's a whole list of sync companies you can use. And that's, just Google them and go from there.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. Now, on the film side and on the TV production side, is that something that you want to still continue on with, is, you know, working on the film side and not just music?
Yes. Yes, because, you know, your music is more expensive on that side.
Yeah.
You know, and so they pay you more because they'll have like a bigger budget for a particular scene or episode. And it'll be, you know, it could be, you know, 50,000, 60, 70, 80, you know, maybe 100, depending on the success of the show.
Yes.
Or whatever. And then they'll pay you for that, just for the use of your music for a few seconds.
Mm. Yeah. And then you probably get the residuals as well, right? When anytime that movie or that show is aired, you get that residual check coming in.
Yep, you get the residuals too.
That's what I'm talking about. We want that residual.
That old mailbox money.
The mailbox money. Get that money while you sleep.
Right? You know what I mean?
That is fire.
It's cool.
Dope. I love it. Who would be somebody that you would love to collab with, whether it be you songwrite for them or maybe you create a beat for them or you engineer for them? Right. Is there somebody in particular that you would love to work with?
Yeah. I think Eric Bellinger is really dope.
Yeah.
I think he is. To me, he's like the new king of R&B in my opinion. I think he is really dope. Who else? I would still like to work with Babyface.
Yeah.
I think he's dope still. Money Long, she is dope. She's amazing as a songwriter. That freestyle she did with 21 Questions was crazy.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen it, but it was crazy. But yeah, just to name a few.
Few of them, absolutely. What about in other genres? Because all three of them are kind of like in the R&B lane. Is there like a artist from another genre, perhaps a country or a rock artist?
Yeah, I would like to work with Ariana Grande, Charlie Puth. He's dope. Let's see, who else? Serena and Ariana, to me, they're kind of like in the same vicinity.
Yeah.
Who else? Max Martin, as a producer, he is incredible. I would love to work with him. Maybe pen some stuff for him as well.
Dope.
Yeah.
We're manifesting it. It's going to happen.
Manifest. Let's manifest. It's already done.
It's already
done. We had the red carpet.
Man. Yes. That is facts. I'm a big believer in that. Do you believe in manifestation with things that you want and desire in your life?
100%. That's how, that's the only way to do it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I live by that. And prayer.
And prayer. There you go. There you go. 100%. Talk to that man above because, we have to talk about it as if it's already happened because it has. It's already written. We just haven't quite made it there yet, but it will happen.
There you go. We're on the journey. It's just pending. It's pending. It ain't processed yet, but it's just pending.
There you go. There you go. Definitely. Yeah. So you've been in the music industry for a long time. Think about your whole entire journey. Just take a step back and, you know, oversee your particular journey in this industry. What are you enjoying the most?
Enjoy the most? Producing for other people, writing for other people.
Yeah.
Creating, developing their sound. I would say I enjoy that the most.
Yeah.
That's where I'm most creative. And that's probably my most favorite side of it.
Anything within the industry that you've seen change over the years that you're not for, you wish we could get back to the old ways of?
I would say just appreciating the music and understanding, like, appreciation of what these artists and creatives, what we do to get the music out to you. And I think that, I think we're in a paradigm shift right now in terms of the structure of inject in music. You know, a lot of people, I don't know if you've seen what Kanye tweeted, that he's, you know, the Vulture album, he's going to, he's trying to figure out a way to release it and just go to direct consumer sales. Mm. You know, and I think we may be headed in that direction, considering that we're in the indie era where, you know, there's really no great need for a major.
Yes.
Label or label situation. And so I think it's going to be, I think the music will eventually be more valuable when it's direct consumer sales, because you got to put a little more work.
That's right.
To getting the music. You know what I mean? I think that's what I miss the most.
I agree.
Back in the day, you know, like we would go to the music store and stream and just listen to music. You know, we'd go to FYE, go to the DJ, you know, like, well, we had a DJ in Raleigh, Mr. Freeze, DJ Freeze. He would, you know, he let you go in and listen to the mixes before, you know, before you buy it. And you know what I mean? It was a whole thing. It was a whole vibe. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And you listen to that album for like all month.
Right.
A side, B side. You know what I'm saying?
Run it back. Absolutely. If you spend that $10, $15, $20, whatever it may be, you're going to get your money's worth out of that. Please believe it. Definitely. Yeah, I think that the way the music industry has changed or evolved into like these streaming platforms, it's a bittersweet because, yeah, you can reach the whole world, but what they're paying these artists is like a slap in the face in comparison to how much you're investing into your actual music career.
Right. It's just like, it's so much access to it.
Yeah.
To where it's like, you know, it's hard to really focus on one artist. You know, it's really hard. It's so much. I mean, you pay what? Apple Music, you pay you $10 and you can just download and stream. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of like the music listeners are kind of, I don't want to say ADD or ADHD or I really don't know the difference. But you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to keep their attention because it's so much at them. You know what I mean? It's so much at, they have so many options. And sometimes, like for me, like I don't really want too many options. I'll just give me like three, and you know what I mean? If not, I'll probably get overwhelmed from not being able to make a choice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, I don't know, I think it's too much, but I think we're really in a good place though. So like we're going back to that.
I hope so.
Great.
I hope so. Absolutely. Because I feel like a lot of the, and it's no shade to a lot of these younger artists, but a lot of them rely too much on social media. And you know, when I sit down with a lot of these young artists, I said, you need to hustle like social media doesn't exist.
Ooh, super facts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super facts.
Yeah, they need to be out here, you know, in the streets, and that old school guerrilla type marketing, putting flyers out and hanging posters, it's not dead. Like, still get out there and do right. that stuff from time to time, you know, pass out flyers, hand out business cards, shoot, press up a few CDs. Some people like myself still like that kind of stuff, even if I don't necessarily have somewhere to play it. To me, it's almost like a little collector's item, you know, that artist blows up. Right. I'm like, look, I got one of his CDs, you know.
But you get a chance to make that real personable impression.
Right. That is
facts. You understand? You know what I mean? So I think we're missing that. I think a lot of times we're just very detached from our fans because it's just like, you know what I mean? We're on our phones and then they go to somebody else. And then before you know it, there's another ad and there's another ad. So it's kind of hard to keep your audience focused and, you know, and dedicated. And a lot of times, you know, people are fickle too. Like, you know, and they may not like what you see and you may not like some of the decisions you make, you know, like Kanye, for instance, like, you know what I mean? Like people go back and forth with him and well, he goes back and forth too, but you know what I mean? But it's kind of like, you know, I think we need more focus.
Yes.
In my opinion, I think it's just too all over the place. You know, I think the spectrum is too long, too wide, whatever.
Man, that is facts. I absolutely agree with you on that. And yeah, definitely social media has so many people thinking that they're superstars because they got a big following. And it's like, no, because you probably can't sell out an arena. So big difference. Definitely. Now, what are you personally working on for yourself? I know you're working with some other artists and we're definitely going to talk about that. But, you know, for yourself, what are you currently working on? Are you an album or EP mode, or are you focusing more on singles?
Not actually, not. I'm so I have started a sound pack company called Rambush. Called Rambush. The website is soundsbyrambush.com. And basically, it's an opportunity to collaborate and have other producers to co-produce with me. And so I create like loops and create like hooks and things of that nature that they can purchase and utilize for their own beats. And it's like we're collaborating together. And so that's like my new baby, my newborn right now that I'm really nursing and really trying to, you know, like grow this thing. And I think it's going to be very successful. And yeah, so that's what I'm currently focused on right now is my sample pack company.
Love that. Tell us the name one more time and the website.
It's Rambush. Well, it sounds by Rambush. .com, like R-A-M-B-U-S-H. Mm-hmm. Rambush, like ram in a bush.
Yeah.
Rambush. Sounds by Rambush.com.
That is dope. Stuff up there. Congratulations on that. That's a big power move right there.
Thank you. Thank you. Trying.
Yeah. No, you doing. You ain't trying. You doing.
That's right. We manifesting, right?
Nah, for real. Big facts. Definitely. When it is, you know, with other artists, do you have any particular that you're producing or writing for at the moment?
Right now, I am working on Charlie Wilson. He's working on a project. So I'm working on his stuff with his team, which is really fun. Like, I didn't know it was going to be this fun, but it's really fun working with his team and stuff like that. And that's who I'm working with right now. And Juan Moore. I'm not sure if you know who Juan Moore is. That's Juan Ye's from Boys and Men's Sons.
Okay.
I'm working on their project as well. Got hit up to work on Nicki Minaj's project recently by one of their producers. So I don't know. We just, like I said, man, I'm just on this boat and it's going where it's going.
I love that. You out here getting to it, making it happen.
Yeah.
Are there other business ventures outside of the music industry that you're tapping into?
On the financial side, I'm, you know, in real estate, I flip houses,
okay,
purchase distressed homes, wholesaling, things of that nature.
That is dope.
Had a life insurance company, sold that. So I'm just like, you know, on the financial side, I enjoy that sector of the business too.
Yeah.
And that's what I do.
Definitely. Real estate's one of those industries that's never going to go anywhere, ever, ever in life. And ever. AI can't replace it.
Very good point.
Definitely. What does work-life balance look like for you? Because you have a lot going on.
I do. Work-life balance? There ain't no balance. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it's, nah, I'm kidding. It's all right. I mean, no, nah, it's cool. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, I think maybe like 3 years ago. Like, no, 3 years ago, I just made a decision. I'm going to do life on my terms.
Yeah.
I'm doing it all on my terms. And so, like, you know, the work, I think I have balance. You know, I do my music at, you know, like a little bit in the evening. I do my financial stuff during the day.
Yeah.
Unless I have like a deadline, music deadline, then I go ahead and knock that out. And I just take one hat off and put another one on.
Love it. You got structure.
You got to when you got kids. If not, they're gonna be raising you.
Nah, for real, because they grow up early these days. Like, wow.
For real.
Definitely. For the people who know you or may think that they know you, what's the biggest misconception about you?
Biggest misconception? Man, that's a very good question. I don't know. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. And the reason why I say that is because I don't really distract myself with what people think about me.
Yeah.
Even if I can have a billboard and say this is who I am, I think people are going to still make their own assessment of who they think I am.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of times people make their choices based off of what they think is familiarity and what they think, you know, their experiences will make them feel one way about you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your experiences can kind of dictate your thinking in a way, you know, influence your thinking in a way. So people, like, may have their own perspective of me. I'm sure they do. I don't know.
He said, I'm not trying to clear nothing up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to be deep, you know what I mean? But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really think about what nobody think of me.
Absolutely.
They think what they want to think.
Period. You know? As you shouldn't. Like, one thing about life, and the reason why I like to ask that, because I'm always curious to what people say, because I always follow up and telling them, one thing about life, we can't please everybody, nor should we try to. We'll make ourselves crazy doing that.
It's exhausting.
It is. It'll give you anxiety. You'll stress yourself out. So that's good. You are absolutely on the right path. Definitely.
Yeah. I wasn't always there, but that's where I'm at now. It's like, whatever you think is cool.
Comes with it.
Don't you believe? I believe that too. That's cool.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, because really at the end of the day, the people who don't really take the time to get to know us personally, they don't matter to us anyway. They don't matter to us anyway. Definitely.
Right. Yep.
What can we expect from you in the coming months? What are some of the things maybe on your 2024 goal list, bucket list, that you are going to make sure happens this year that we can anticipate?
Wins on top of wins, win-win situations, everybody around me leveling up, Grammys, platinum plaques, business deals, yes, congratulations. All those great things. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, this is the year of the harvest, I believe, for me. So it's going to be all W's for me.
Man.
It's all the way up.
Yeah. That is facts. Got the winning team around you. That's an important part of your come up, is having the right people around you. That's why they say it's lonely at the top, because a lot of people are going to fall off along your journey, and that's okay.
Listen, win the nosebleed section.
Definitely.
For real. 100%. All the way up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So let's talk a little bit about the transition in your name. You said you were going by the government, Dante Tyler. Now it's Rambo. What made you decide to go with Rambo?
So Rambo was just, number one, I used to love John Rambo from back in the day as a kid.
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know, we all have, like, our... I don't want to say alter ego. I just think this is just a mold that we all can get in, that bull mold.
Mm.
And I just think that Rambo is that bull mold. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we all got that gangster mold, you know.
Facts.
You know, we boss up and that, you know what I'm saying? And so that's that Rambo. It's like everything, you know what I'm saying? I'm laying it all down. Like, you know, I don't want myself killing everything because I don't want nobody to take it out of context. But I am and I ain't.
That is facts, man. That is facts. Well, definitely, we appreciate you sharing your journey with us. Is there anything else that's currently in the works or coming up that we maybe didn't cover that you want to make sure that people are in tune for?
Night Shift is out right now everywhere. Go grab that. Just grab all the music, man. Paris, Love All Over, but definitely Night Shift. Stream also produced a record for Pop Money. Called Love More. Get that. That's Nick Cannon's group. Check them out. I produced that joint as well with Troy Taylor. Shout out to him. Also, go on soundsbyramblers.com. Download everything. I mean, it's quality. It's the last pack called the Galaxy Pack. It's crazy. You know, follow me, man. Don't blink. You might miss something.
I know that's right. That's right. Do not blink, because he's out here working and you will absolutely miss something. So shout out to Rambo checking in. We are going to get into your record in just a moment. Before we do that, tell everybody where they can keep up with you on your social platforms.
Call me _Rambo_.
Everywhere. On all social Everywhere. Platforms. Do you have a website?
Mm-hmm. Just soundsbyramblers.com.
Definitely. So that's for the people that want to collab with you on the production side.
Yep.
Love it. I know you have a lot of people that support you, that love on you. Anybody in particular that you want to just, you know, say thank you to, give thanks to, shout out to?
I want to say shout out to my wife, Jamie. Shout out to her for just her unwavering support and just always holding up the mirror, reminding me who I am, fixing my crown when it's crooked. Shout out to Tony Ingram, my good brother, that actually introduced us, you and I. So
yep.
I want to thank him for just believing in me and being one of those good friends that just remind me who I am. And everybody else that support my music, just support what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Thank y'all, for real.
Man, and shout out to yourself.
Shout out to me, right? Shout out to me.
You can't forget yourself. You the one out here making it happen. You making the moves. You making it happen. You taking care of your family. You're taking care of yourself. You know, that's a beautiful thing right there.
You know what? I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, shout out to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else before we check out the record?
Just everybody, my family. Y'all already know, love y'all. My Uncle Tracy. Shout out to him. He in Philly putting in work. Shout out to him for screenshotting, letting me know, screenshot his calendar this morning, letting me know he's going to be tuning in. He said he got his nephew. So I love you, Unc. Shout out to you.
Man, that's love right there. Well, listen, bro, it was such a pleasure to have you on here this evening, but we are about to get into this record without further ado. This hit record, it's not just a record, it's a hit record called The Night Shift. Go ahead and give us that official introduction. Yeah, give us that official really dope introduction.
Oh, snap. Yo, check out. This is Night Shift. This is a vibe written and produced, performed by me. Shout out to my man, John Fitzgerald McGill, for laying down the guitar, my good brother. This is Night Shift. Quick story about this song. I was actually pitching this song for Chris Brown for the album Before Last. It didn't make it. So I put it out myself, and it's a vibe. People loving it. And so we're going to make them regret it.
I know that's nice right. I know that's right. Go get that. Rambo, check it out. Y'all stay tuned for it. It is your girl, Tampa Mystic, right here at the Hype 87.3. Let's go.
Come and see what all the hype is about. Tune in to the Hype 87.3.